All righty. Revelation chapter 13. If you have your Bible, turn there. All right. And so Revelation chapter 13, it is about the beast, the Antichrist. And then next week it will go into the mark of the beast. Yes, it is the vaccine. No, I'm just kidding. They started with one, and then we'll have six boosters, six different times. And no, I'm just kidding, completely. All right, practical guide to the book of Revelation, the beast. So here's the timeline of the book. We took a short seven-month break or something from the series, so hopefully we'll catch you back up here. But the Bible says in Revelation 1 and verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And that's where we get our divisions from the book. So, if you remember, when you're reading Revelation chapter 1, John has a vision of God in eternity past. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And that's the things which thou hast seen, the things which are. He speaks to the seven churches in Asia Minor there. Those are the things which are the church age that was going on then and now. And it says, and the things which shall be hereafter. Okay? And so all of that from Revelation chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 22 is what I believe will be hereafter or in the future. And I get the divisions from that book. There's a lot of different views of the book of Revelation. One's a preterist view that they believe that it's more of a historical book. Everything has already been fulfilled except for the return of Christ. Other people think it's completely just symbols and it has no relation to any events that are going to happen. I take the view of the book of Revelation that it's future. And I believe that is biblical. So, where we're at right now is Revelation 6 through 19, the tribulation. And so, in the verses, or in chapter 6 through 19, you have different things that happen. So you have the seven seals that are on the scroll. And that's one view of the book of, that's one view of the tribulation. Then you have the angels with the trumpets. And that's another view of the tribulation. And then you have what we're going through right now is the seven personages. Now, we've already went over the great red dragon, which is the devil, and the woman, and the man-child. So we went over those ones in Revelation chapter 12. And that will follow with the seven vials. Some people do not make a distinction between the trumpets in the vials, so they don't talk about the seven personages. They're there, but they just include them as kind of a parenthesis there. But I think that it's given you different views of the tribulation. You can see through those things. And the personages are the main actors or players. And then you have the Lord come back, Revelation chapter 20. You have the millennium and then the Lord coming and closing everything up and the world being done away with, which is an exciting prospect, him coming back. And so that's where we're at right now. And so he comes back. So remember Revelation chapter 12, the great red dragon, he tries to kill the woman that brought forth the man-child, which was Israel. And then God gives his plan for redemption through the man-child. And then he begins to persecute the woman or the children of Israel, the Jews, at least the ones that don't fall in line with him, and they have to flee, okay, into the wilderness for time, times, and half a time, or the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And here in chapter 13, the Antichrist is revealed, and he begins to make war with them. And the ones that don't receive the mark. And in chapter 13, the character of the beast, the Antichrist, is revealed. who he is really. He deceives the whole world. You know that? And he doesn't look like a beast to most people. He doesn't look like the dragon. He's a very articulate person. He's a man, he comes in, he's a popular choice. People vote him in. They love him. But the Lord shows you spiritually who he really is here in chapter 13. And so up to this point during the tribulation, you know, a lot of the focus has been on God and what God is doing. Remember the scroll and the loosing the seals, and that shows what God's doing. And then the angels, that shows what God is doing. And now we have this, and this focuses on the other side of the coin. This focuses on what the Antichrist is doing and what the devil is doing and trying to accomplish in the tribulation. So it focuses on his actions and how he is operating during this time. You know, God did all of those things, and it says in, you know, yet, man, they repented not. They still didn't turn to the Lord, no matter how bad that it got. I mean, some did. You had the souls under the altar. So this is showing you that. So, Revelation chapter 13, why don't we just start and read the first 9 verses, and then we'll start. So, I'll read. And it Revelation 13, 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there were given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints." Lord, I thank you so much for your word. And I thank you that you show us how it ends and what is coming. And Lord, you show us that even though this powerful person, the Antichrist, in the end he doesn't win, the Lord wins, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take comfort in these things and comfort in your word tonight. And I pray you would teach us and help us to learn and be interested in your revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and show us your glory in all of these things tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 1, it says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." So John is standing on earth, and he sees this beast rise up out of the sea, and it's quite a sight. And he has 7 heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns. So who is this? And what do these 7 heads and 7 crowns and 10 horns, or 10 crowns and horns, what do they represent? So I believe that this is the Antichrist. You know, the word Antichrist means against Christ. And, you know, we call him the Antichrist, but really the Bible doesn't use that the majority of time when it's talking about him. John, in the book of 1 John, uses the word, I think, 5 or 6 times in 1 and 2 John. Here's an example of how he uses it in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, "Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that the Antichrist shall come." So the Antichrist will come. That's a person. Even now there are many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. So, they call him the Antichrist. There's many Antichrists. But what is he called in the Bible? He's called the man of sin. He's called the idle shepherd. He's called the son of perdition. And in the book of Revelation, he's called the beast. Over and over and over again, he's called the beast. And so this is who that is. Now, even though he's not here, make no mistake about it, there are many antichrists. There's many people that come and they are led of the devil and they do terrible things, led of Satan. Hitler would be an example of that. You know, there would be no question in your mind that this person was led of the devil. You think about what he did. He went against God's people. He went against the Jews. You know, he persecuted them. He went into the churches and he replaced the Bibles and put the Third Reich. I mean, Mein Kampf. Imagine that, taking the Bible out and putting Mein Kampf in there and making people use that. The persecution that he did against the Christians, Albert Schreier writes about it, and many books write about it, but Albert Schreier does in The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. And if you were alive during that time, you probably would have thought he was the Antichrist from what you read in the Bible and matching it up. Matter of fact, there was a lot of people that did think he was the Antichrist, and they thought Mussolini was the false prophet because of all the things that were going on then. You know, he used to fall on the floor in some of his meetings, foaming at the mouth and biting the carpet. I mean, he was just nuts. Possessed of the devil for sure. But he wasn't the Antichrist, but he was a Antichrist. So, there's no question that the spirit of this age is Antichrist. Is there? The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, it says, "The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only now who letteth will let until we be taken out of the way." And I don't know about you, but I'm a really old man. I'm 40 years old now, but I'm telling you that I have, in my estimation, maybe I'm just getting older and more aware, but it seems like people are so much more faithless now than they've ever been. And it seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me more and more people are falling away. It seems like every day I'm hearing somebody, "Oh, I don't believe the Bible anymore. You know, that's for you kids. I don't believe it anymore. I was just lying to myself the whole time. I never did believe it, really." And, man, that great falling away that's happening. And it seems like there's this spirit that is just trying to suck faith out of people. A belief in the Bible, belief in the Word of God, belief in the Lord Himself, that He created this. It's attacking us. It's attacking our children. This spirit is working for sure. And it says that, you know, people, it's not like it's not even an option anymore to turn to God. You know, I was yesterday, I take the kids to these counseling things, the grief counseling, to help them, you know, get through some of the things that happen in their life. And during that time, they put all the adults together that have been through similar things. And I was in a room last night with 11 other people, primarily ladies. There was one other man. And they had all lost their spouse to suicide. I mean, it was amazing. That many people in the room. And to hear them talk, there was no hope. Absolutely no hope. It was just so dark. And I said, you know, you can't do anything about the person that's gone, but there is hope. You can find God. You can get your life going in the direction that He wants it to go. And I'm telling you, the Lord has helped me, and He can help you. And I want to tell you, there is hope if you find God, but there's not any hope outside of that. And then people just kind of stare at you like I was trying to be kind and compassionate and things, but man, it's so sad. It is so sad for me to see people whose lives is just a wreck. And they have no hope, nothing to cling to. And that's the spirit that's working in this age. It's not even an option to turn to the Lord anymore. And man, pray for them. That's for sure. You all know Jordan. She sings up here sometimes. And, I like it when people get in trouble for the right reason, you know? And so she's getting in trouble at school for passing out gospel tracts and writing, you know, verses in her tests and things like that in her papers. You know, they told her, if you continue to do this, we're not going to accept your grades, you know, and you can't do this. So, you know, her dad gets and prints out the things and shows the people what it is, and they try to get around it, but what is that? What is that spirit? And yet, at the same time, you can have the rainbow flag up, you can push all this other junk on people as hard as you want to, there's no repercussions, you can't say anything about it, but then when you bring the Lord, it's everything is against God. Can you not see that? What's going on? Well, what is this all leading up to? It's leading up to the beast, the Antichrist that's coming. It's setting the stage. And this beast arises out of the sea. Now, remember, Revelation, it's also called the Apocalypse. That means that it's a lot of times it's symbolic literature, symbolic wording. So if you think about Joseph's dream, remember he had the sun and the moon and the 11 sheaves that bowed down to him? Now, did the sun and the moon and 11 stalks or sheaves bow down to him? No, that was his father and mother and his brethren. They represented that. Think about Pharaoh's dream of the fat ears and the skinny ears and the fat cows and the skinny cows. You know, in Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, Daniel, the book of Daniel, is much like it. It has this apocalyptic literature, this picture literature in it, and it's meant to say something. So there's not going to be a beast that rises out of the sea that looks like this. Look at verse 2. It says, "And I saw, and the beast I saw was like unto a leopard." You see that? He's saying this is what it's like. It's a spiritual representation of what it is. So he is like these things. He's wild. He's terrible. He's evil. He has power. He has a lot of ways to hurt people. In the tribulation, the faithful people and the remnant of God's people, and he rises out of the sea. So what is that? He rises out of the sea. Revelation 17 and verse 15, we'll put it up here. And it says, "He saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are the peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." So this whore and Revelation 17, when we get there, this religious system rides the political system. You know, in terrible times, the church and the state have been married. Okay? And that's the same thing that's going on there. So this false religion rides the beast, and they work together. But what are the waters that they're riding on? It's the people. They take advantage of the people, the nation, and the tongues. Revelation 20 and verse 8, talking about the sand, he said, "He'll gather them together. The number is as the sand of the sea." So remember Abraham, he said, you know, your multitude will be like the sand of the sea. So what this beast rises out of is he rises out of humanity. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 20, this verse will help. "The wicked are like the troubled sea." Think about the sea that's foaming and it cannot rest, whose waters stir up mire and dirt. And that's where the beast comes out. And he said, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." And the world is stirred up into a frothy frenzy. And the beast comes out of that froth and that wickedness, that all that's stirred up, and he rises to the top. They're in turmoil. And so what do they do in the time of turmoil? They turn to the Antichrist. And he has all the answers. He speaks all these great vain words. There's flattery in his mouth, and he comes out of the nations, and God is revealing to us his true character here. Up till now, he's been disguised. He's been operating peacefully, Remember, he made a covenant with God's people for 3.5 years. And in the midst of the covenant, he marches into the temple and he causes the sacrifice to cease. And he offers the abomination that makes desolate. He said, "You offer this sacrifice to me." And he breaks the covenant with them. And whoever will not worship him, then he begins to persecute. So that's what the sea is that he rises out of. Now, look at, he has seven heads. It says in verse 1. See that? He said, 7 heads, 10 horns, and 10 crowns. All right, Revelation, take your Bible, I don't have this up here. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 7. What are these 7 heads? Revelation 17, 7. And I'm starting here so you get a little bit of context. And it says, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her," that's who we're talking about, "which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. So there's the context. It's the beast, the 7 heads and 10 horns. And verse 8, "And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was not and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are the 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen and 1 is not, and the other is not yet come. When he cometh, he must continue a short space." So you have the 7 heads, and it says they're the 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And then it says in verse 10, there's 7 kings. 5 are fallen, 1 is not, and the other is not yet. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So the 7 heads, you know, I'm sure that you've heard this, but a lot of people, because of this verse right here, they say that wherever the Antichrist comes and rules from, it's going to be from ancient Rome because it was built on 7 hills. I'm sure you've heard that. But I think from these passages that that's a possibility. But it's also a possibility that they are 7 kingdoms or 7 nations. And the 7 heads represent the kings of those 7 nations that give this political system a rise to power. So I don't think that it has to be that location exclusively, but you can definitely see why people have gotten that. And then it says in verse 11, "And the beast that was not and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7th, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are the 10 kings which have received no kingdom as of yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have 1 mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." So these 10 horns and the 10 crowns on them, they're kings. It's like the UN, you know? The beast comes into power and he has these 10 kings that have no kingdom, but then they rule over the world and they're loyal to the beast. And they don't have, the power is not from the kingdom that they come from. It's from the Antichrist. That's where they get the power from. It's like, that's how the UN, and eventually something like that will take over, and you'll have a one world government under the beast with these 10 crowns, and you'll have a one world religion, which we'll see with the false prophet next week. These are the power to rule over the world under the Antichrist. It's the political system that enforces the religious system that the false prophet leads. Okay? And they're not loyal to the countries, but they're loyal to the beast. And then it says in verse 1 that they have on his heads the name of blasphemy. So they have no regard for the Lord at all. They blaspheme his name. And that is not... that. It seems like that's always happening in government, doesn't it? You know, I read for, I know some people like history. One piece of history that I love to read is I love to read about World War II history. And I was reading a book the other day about some of the things that the Nazis were doing. And you know what it said? That Hitler and the top SS, the Nazis, they hated Christians. They hated them. And they sought them out specifically and tried to make life as difficult as possible for Christians. And you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to replace Christianity with National Socialism. And they tried to do it, especially at Christmas time. They tried to switch it. And they kept trying to do it, but they weren't able to do it. But the beast, the false prophet, he will do it. They have no regard for the Lord, and they blaspheme Him. Okay, now on to verse 2, Revelation 13, 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Okay, so if you remember the book of Daniel chapter 7, Daniel sees these beasts. And Daniel sees first the lion, and then he sees the bear, and then he sees the leopard. And then he sees the dreadful beast with the teeth of iron. And he sees it in the reverse order, doesn't he? So John sees it looking backwards, and Daniel sees it looking forward. The book of Daniel and the book of Revelation are so closely linked with these pictures that are in them. So if you would write down in that reference Daniel chapter 7, you could write 3 through 7, and it's amazing how these things, they line up. Okay? So the other beasts, they give way to this beast. And they're used to, in Daniel's prophecy, people say that they represent the four successive empires. So they say Babylon is the lion. They say Media Persia is the bear. Greece is the leopard. And the kingdom of the Antichrist is the dreadful fourth beast with the teeth of iron. And I don't know if that's true. I don't have any reason to doubt it, or also I don't have any reason really to believe it, but they try to line them up with these things, and it definitely seems pretty convincing that it is right that these are them. I don't know for sure, but all I know is that all these beasts and all these political systems, they build on each other and they give way to the Antichrist, you know? As the world unites, why do you think the world is always trying to come together and unite? Why? Well, it's a lot easier to control the United States than to control individual states. It's all a lot easier to control the European Union than just a couple of countries. And once they consolidate power, to turn it over to the Antichrist. All right, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. So you know that's the way it's going. I don't think you should get nervous about it. I don't think there's much you can do to stop it. But just be aware of what's happening and why it's happening. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Okay, so now we have an important clue, because it says this in here three times. So you see his head was wounded to death. So one of these heads that represents a king, okay, it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Look at verse 12, we'll have it up here. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. There it is again. And look at verse 14. And he that deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do inside of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Okay, so what is important? It's important to know that this beast was dead, and then he was brought back to life. He was wounded somehow. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 7 says this, and they And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So this beast, that's a human, he's a man. We know that from the last part of this chapter. Where does this man come from? He comes from the bottomless pit. He ascends out of the pit. So he's there now, and he's going to come out. Look at Revelation 17:8. It's also up here. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So he was, and then he wasn't, and then he was again. Okay, so he ruled, then he's gone, and they rule again. So who is it? I don't know. I don't know who it is. If it says in Revelation 17:11, the beast that was not and is, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh and goeth into perdition. So the Antichrist or the beast is one of those heads. So he reigns twice. Now, here's something that's interesting. And I don't know if this is true, but it's a good idea. And there's Bible to support it. And this, I found this in Warren. I don't know if you've ever had Warren Wiersbe. He has some pretty good commentaries. A lot of practical things in there. He used to pastor, I'm sure you've heard him on BBN probably, if you listen to BBN. My son doesn't want me to listen to it because he says it's boring, but I think it's a good station to listen to. But you'll hear him on there sometimes. He's a really good preacher. He's really helpful. I got these notes from there. So, both the beast and Judas are called the son of perdition. Look at John chapter 17 and verse 12. We'll put it up here. He said, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, that those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come away, falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." What else is Judas called? John chapter 6 and verse 70. It says, "Jesus answered them and said, Have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So, some people think that it's Judas come back to life. You know what was really interesting is the ancient church, you know who they thought it was? They thought it was Nero. Here's a quote from Severus in ancient literature. He was one of the preachers back in the day. He said, he recounts the reign of Nero, and he says, "The basis of all men and even of wild beasts who will yet appear immediately before the coming of the Antichrist, too given that his body was never found, there are doubts whether he committed suicide. Even if he did plan to put an end to himself with a sword, his wound was cured and his life was foretold, was preserved as foretold in the book of Revelation, to be sent forth again near the end of the world in order that he may practice the mystery of iniquity." And there's several references to things like that. I have another quote here if you want, you're interested in it. But Nero definitely was an antichrist, but he wasn't the antichrist. But you know what he did? He persecuted Christians too. He covered them with tar and he used them to kill thousands of Christians. And so the preterist view of the book of Revelation, they say that it is talking about Nero. However, I don't agree. Whoever it is, he comes from the pit. And that's why I never thought it was President Obama. You know, the reason I say that is because You know what? People will always be pointing to politicians and saying, oh, he's the Antichrist. You know, Barack Hussein Obama, 18 letters, 6 and 6, 6 is 18. Therefore, he is the Antichrist. Have you heard that before? I'm sure you've heard that before. Donald Trump, his name equates to 666 in the ASC2 computer code. If you put those letters in, it means 6. Okay, I'm sure you've heard that one. Dr. Fauci is the Antichrist now. Or they said Adolf George Bush, he was one. They had a way to figure out how his name came up to 666. They say Adolf Hitler. So Adolf, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 letters. Hitler, 6 letters. And the Führer, 6 letters. 666. So they said that. Here's what John Wesley said. Therefore, whatever he is now existing. The beast is the Romanish papacy that is manifestly follows from the third and fourth propositions. The beast has a strict connection with the city of Rome, and the beast is now existing. Therefore, either there is some other power more strictly connected with that city, or the Pope is the beast, the papacy or the papal kingdom began long ago. And so, if you read, you know, anyone from that era back then, older writers in the 17 and 1800s, most of them equated it with Rome. So why am I saying all that? Don't get caught up in all the speculation that leads nowhere but to anxiety. You know how he's revealed? He's not revealed by counting the letters in his name. Is he? No. How is he revealed? When he dies, comes back, when he walks into the temple, and he offers the abomination that maketh desolate. That's how you'll know who he is. Not by counting the numbers of his... You're just wasting your time. You know what's crazy about that? Is people are more interested in the Antichrist than they are in Jesus Christ. They're more interested in counting letters in people's names than finding out who the Lord is and what He wants them to do. All right, in verse 4 it says this, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast who is able to make war with him? Oh, one thing I didn't want to miss here, it says, the dragon, in verse 2, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So where does he get his power from? He gets it from the devil. The devil. That is, they worship the dragon who gave power unto the beast. When you worship the Antichrist, whether they know it or not, they're worshiping the devil. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? So the whole world will be filled with amazement at this person. They will be mesmerized by him. They'll be terrified, but they will be amazed. They'll wonder after him. His sudden rise to power and fame and authority. They'll wonder at the healing of his womb. And he's going to want to have the one that has all the answers. He's going to be he's going to bring peace and prosperity. He's going to solve the world's problems. Who is like the beast? Who could fight the beast? You know, that's how dictators always come to power, isn't it? They have the answer to the people's problems. That's how Hitler came to power. He would mesmerize the crowds with his speeches. And you know, he never would have come to power if they didn't have the problems in Germany that were going on at the time with the fall of the Weimar Republic and inflation and hunger. And you know what he came in and promising to rise the German people and bring in prosperity and food and all these other things. They didn't care about anything else. And he was so popular. And they brought him in. And that's how that the Antichrist, they'll admire and worship him. And worship is something Satan has always craved, isn't it? Matthew chapter 4 with Jesus, he said, look at all this. I'll give it to you if you just bow down and worship me. And he said, it's written you should worship God and Him only shall thou serve. But he's always been looking for that worship, and he's going to receive it through the beast. And the second beast that's described in the last half of this chapter will organize and promote the worship of the Antichrist and make it the official world religion. All right, and it says in verse 5, and there was given to him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So that's the last half of the tribulation. And it says in verse 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Now just recently he's been kicked out of heaven where he doesn't have access to it anymore. So it's no wonder that he's blaspheming. But you see, he speaks great things. Verse 5, he speaks great things. He's a great orator. Daniel 7 in verse 8 says this, I considered the horns, and behold, there came among them another little horn, that's the Antichrist, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in his horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Daniel 7 in verse 11, and I beheld because the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed, given to the burning flame. It says in verse 25, he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to take times and laws. Daniel 11 and verse 31, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Daniel 11, 36, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. So what is the blasphemies and the great things he's speaking? Well, it's all the way from back in the days of old when he said, I'll be like the Most High. I'll put my throne above the Most High. It's inspired by Satan. And speaks great things against God. He and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. You see? That's what he does. He speaks great things. He's a great orator. Controlling people with his words. And he's going to be the best speech giver you've ever heard. It will last for 3.5 years. So we'll stop there and we'll take it up next time in verse 7. And then we'll go into the next beast there. Verse 7. All right. Brother Phil, you want to come dismiss us in prayer? What's that?
My leg was asleep. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, and maker of all things that are seen and unseen. Lord, thank you for the book of Revelation that reveals the end times, Lord. It's not a book to make us fearful, but just to let us know what is coming, and it will surely come because it's written in your book. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Help us now to go home safely and get refreshed and come back Sunday again. And we love you and we thank you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.